Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hi, I'm Sam.
And I'm Erica. We are the Sugarcraft Junkies and this is our podcast.
It's for professionals, home bakers and everyone in between. Each month we'll bring you the latest news, trends, ones to watch and so much more.
So stay tuned. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Erica. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. Been out from a lovely morning dog walk, so I'm wide awake.
Good, good. Is it a bit warmer out again today?
Well, it is a bit warmer, but I stuck my head out the door and still thought I need a coat.
Okay.
So it's warmer indoors than it is out.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully it'll warm up later, but yeah, not too good, but yeah. So, what have you been up to?
I have done a few random different things this month. I have completed my Pilates assessment.
So how did that go?
Took my class, filmed it, sent it off for assessment. Haven't heard anything back yet. That was on Thursday, so that was only like 4 days ago, so 1.5 working days because we've had a weekend in between. That went well, actually. I enjoyed it, and my participants were good. They were all up to the job.
Oh, fantastic.
And all gave me nice feedback, which was useful.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. We had a workshop making stuff for our branch table on Saturday.
Oh, did you? What did you do?
My craft group, yeah. I can't tell you what we did, but we made stuff as a group.
Would this be anything to do with the forthcoming exhibition?
It will be, yes.
Ah, yes. Exciting.
Yes, and I have made my piece for our branch table as well, which is a plaque that has piping on it. That is all I will tell you for now. You can see photos probably... it will be the month after next, won't it? Because the show's on the 11th of May.
Yes.
So, yeah, next one.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah. I met up with my family on Saturday. My aunt and uncle were over from Sri Lanka. So I met up with all my cousins on that side, which was nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, my cousin hosted a dinner for everyone, had a nice big buffet.
Oh. Nice.
Yeah, so that was good to see everyone. There were children, well, I say children. Children, but last time I saw them were about 5 or 6 who are now like 14. And others where it's been like 5 years since I've seen them because last time I saw them was before lockdown. We're like, oh, last time I saw you, you were about 6 and you're now 12.
It's very different.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Nice, yeah, though.
It was nice. It was very nice. What else have I done? Oh, I went to the stitching show in Islington. I was going to say knitting and stitching, but it wasn't. It was a stitching show.
Oh, right. How was that?
The Business Design Centre in Islington. Do you know what? It was really good. So I'd got tickets on Tickets for Good. They do cheap tickets for NHS and charity workers. And what they were offering was you can buy a normal ticket, but their offer was for an evening ticket. So I think it was like the Thursday, it was a weekday, there was an afternoon sort of ticket where you could get in from 3 o'clock and it was cheaper. So it was open till 8. So I was like, I'm sure 5 or 6 hours is more than enough to walk around. And by the sounds of it, it was the ideal thing to do because it only cost me £2 when...
£2?
Yeah.
Wow.
For the discounted one. I think it should have been about 10, but it was about half the price of a normal ticket if you just bought it regularly.
Yeah.
And... talking to some of the stall holders, they're like, it was so busy this morning that you wouldn't have got round anything anyway. You'd have been queuing to try and see the stalls, and I could get round quite easily around everything. So I think actually that's the way to do it. You can sort of fly around in the afternoon and get to see everything you want. But there were so many things that inspired me there. I took so many business cards. I bought a few things, actually. I bought some chunky yarn to crochet some little pots with. I have crocheted one, actually. Let me just show you. It's on the desk I'm sat at, so I can show you a little picture. It's got some sort of, like, I don't know what that is, stuck to it. There's something white on it. I don't know what that is. It's not part of the pop.
Something white on it.
There you go. I sent you a little picture of the first one. They're meant to be like little crochet flower pots. I bought that. I bought the yarn and made it. I bought a little freehand embroidery kit. So I thought I didn't need a full kit. I could figure it out for myself because I've done embroidery before. And this was sort of freestyle, so it's not, it's very like organic looking. And so I just bought a bundle of the yarns. So I thought, okay, I don't have that bit. I've got all the rest. So I've had a start at that. There's some bead embroidery that I want to do, which is also freestyle, which looks really, again, sort of organic and sea-like. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. Quite cool.
Okay, you.
Yeah. I think that was about it. Oh, no, I bought a little bit of fabric, which I really like. Shall I show you that?
Oh, show us your fabric. What have you got plans for it?
Yeah, well, it's sweatshirting material, so I'm going to make a bit of a sweatshirt, but I didn't buy enough to make a whole sweatshirt because it was too expensive, so I bought half a metre, so I'm going to use it as, like, accent pieces somewhere.
You're going to make part of a sweatshirt. What are you going to do? Just put the front, make the front, and just walk around.
Just wear a jacket. Hang on, let me go and get the fabric. Okay, I sent you a picture of the fabric as well. So from a distance, it looks like leopard print, but up close, it's actually faces with hair.
Hang on a minute. Let me have a look. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's clever, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's quite cool. It's not as giant as it looks. That's a bit of a close-up photo. But so unless you're close up, you think it was like a green and black leopard print.
Yes. Yeah, it's not until you see the little lines for the faces and stuff.
And also I've bought a new microphone, which is what I'm using at the moment.
Oh, how come?
Well, I was going to get rid of my other ones because the USB mic that I've got never seems to like pick up properly. There seems to be a lot of like background interference and it's never a very clear sound. And the one, the Rode one that we've got, the box that I've got isn't great. And it takes a lot of setting up, and I still don't really understand the controls on it. So what I was going to get was they do a Rode PodMic with a USB connection that plugs directly into your computer, so you don't need the box. Yeah. I thought, we don't record in person anymore, so we don't need the option to have like multiple people on the same thing, do we? So I was looking at that, but then that's still quite expensive because it's quite new. And the other thing I was looking at was... Actually, I thought for my Pilates thing, it's like, do I need a microphone? Because it depends how many people there are and how much they're going to hear me. And is the camera going to pick me up as being loud enough? So I considered it for that. And I've bought a Rode Wireless Go 2 microphone.
Oh, right.
So it's a tiny little portable wireless microphone. You get two little boxes, which are like the size of about a Tic Tac packet, a bit smaller than a Tic Tac packet. They're square.
Yeah.
You imagine like the width of a packet of Tic Tacs, that but in a square. So you get one which is the transmitter and one's the receiver. And then you can either, so at the moment I've got the, I suppose the receiver. The transmitter's got to be the bit that you talk into, right? I presume. Anyway, the bit that you don't talk into.
You're talking to the wrong person, Erica.
The bit that doesn't have the microphone attached is plugged into my computer and the other bit is just clipped to my shirt.
Oh, right.
So you can take it out and about and record wirelessly. And also it has up to 7 hours of audio recording in the microphone itself. So you don't need to have it plugged into anything to be able to record. You can just record straight onto the audio, straight onto the microphone itself, and then download it to your computer later.
Oh, okay. I've just gone onto their website. Yeah. So it's like a black little black box.
Yeah.
That you clip onto yourself.
Yeah.
And then there's, would you say there's another black box?
Yeah, there's a receiver which has got like, it tells you what you're using. So it will tell you whether you've got one or two microphones attached to it. Because you can get a kit with two microphones, but to be honest, I didn't bother. Because I thought, when are we ever going to use two? It was quite a bit more expensive. Yeah. This is the bit that's plugged into my computer. So it tells you the volume. It tells you how much battery you've got left. It tells you which microphone you're using. I mean, if you're recording directly onto the microphone itself, it will record that. So what it means is if you're filming something and you go out of range, because it's recording on the microphone that's clipped to you, you still have the full audio.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So I'm using that today because it just, like, the entire thing would fit in the palm of your hand, the little pouch it comes in. So I can get rid of a lot of stuff that's just big and bulky, and I'm not convinced is much working any better.
Yeah. Okay. Was it expensive?
It was about £140.
Okay. So, that with reasonably.
Yeah, reasonably expensive, but I think for the variety it will offer, it's worth it, because if we were to record at a show, we could do that.
Yeah.
Out and about, do you know what I mean?
Well, you can.
Well, one of us can, or like we could pass the microphone, but it comes with like a little, you know, the fuzzy things that go on the microphone to stop the wind. It comes with one of them, and you can use it as a handheld mic. You don't have to clip it on. So you can literally use it as a microphone and sort of pass it back between your towards the right mouth as you're talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you could use it out and about and do that as well.
Oh, nifty.
Yeah. Very.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, so that is what I've done. What have you done?
What have I done? Well, most recently, probably, I've been doing this Meet the Maker thing with Gravesham Borough Council.
Yeah.
So I kind of signed up to this about last October time, completely forgot about it. as you do.
Yeah.
And then it comes around very quickly. And suddenly you realise that you put yourself down to do a demo or a hands-on.
Yeah.
And then I spent 2 days. I did 2 days of just working. So this Wednesday I'm back there. So I did last Wednesday, I did a demo. So in Gravesend, they've got an arts and art centre.
Okay.
Arts. I was trying to think because I was thinking of that. Their Instagram, their arts and culture, Gravesham, but it's not called arts and culture. So it's an art centre, and it's got a cafe attached to it. So it's actually quite nice, but you know, and it's really quiet when you walk in, and it's a very I don't know, an odd space to just for Joe Public to kind of walk in.
Does it feel a bit like they're interrupting something by walking in, or it feels a bit cold?
It does, which is totally alien to me because I'm not of that kind of, you know, I like noise and stuff. So anyway, there was tables set up around the room, which is kind of smaller than I was anticipating, wobblier as well than I was anticipating.
Always wobblier. Yeah.
And then there was a table set up in the middle, and basically I was the first one to do a hands-on. Mm. So I was like, I was guinea pig. And I had 4 people booked on in the morning, 3 in the afternoon. So I did 10:30 for 2 hours, and then a 2:30 for 2 hours. I tell you what, I was shattered by the end. and so I had to supply everything. And they could have up to 8 people. I'm so pleased that we only had 4 because that was enough that I could give my time to. So we made a sprig of flowers. I don't know whether you saw.
Okay. No, I didn't.
What I made. Hang on a minute. I'll see if I can find a photo and send it to you. So we took up the whole 2 hours actually. There was 2 ladies from my class that came, and there was 2 new ladies. And then the afternoon I had 3 people I didn't know, which was absolutely lovely. And I kind of wanted to promote my class a bit. There you go. I've sent you over what we made. Mm. So it was really lovely. 2 full-on hours. Apparently they got some really nice feedback as well.
Oh, excellent. Which was that lovely.
So I'm hoping that that's part of my next term's class.
Ah.
So it's like a little snippet from the class. So we did that. And then Saturday I was back down there just working. So it's like a behind the scenes type thing, see what people do. And I have to say, I had a lot of people that were interested in what I was doing because they like walk past and go, "That's all sugar." And people don't think, you know, oh my God, you know, what you can make out of it. So, yeah, I had a lot of, I spoke to a lot of people, although it was quiet. It'd be nice if there was more people. And I don't know why. I don't know whether that kind of walking into that place just, I don't know. I don't know whether I would just ordinarily walk in and just look around because it's so quiet. You feel quite intimidated. I think they don't think so. I thought.
Yeah.
But anyways, so it was nice. I mean, they had music going. I've just sent you a picture of the class that we're doing. So it was really lovely. And then, I'm back down there Wednesday. But the problem is I have to pack up all of the stuff that I need. I've managed to leave a wedding cake display down there and my last class down there.
Okay.
And they've stayed up. And then everything else I need to bring home because I need to carry on working.
Yeah.
So I'm like, so I'm trudging backwards and forwards to car parks with, you know, loads of bags and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Because it was like anybody else, there's a lady next to me and she's crocheting. And she's amazing, but because she walks in with a bag.
Yeah. Like, doesn't need half the amount of stuff, which is light. It's full of like light tools.
Yeah. Exactly. So anyway, so if, this will be out on the day that I'm down there, won't it? So I can't say anyone around Gravesend come down and visit because that'll be,
a bit late.
I'll be gone by then. Yeah. What else have I been up to? I've spent a lot of time designing wedding cakes for my upcoming wedding cakes this year.
Okay.
Meeting with couples. And that's been quite nice. I did enter Salon Culinaire. I should mention that, shouldn't I, really? I've not put anything anywhere on it. I can send you a picture of that as well. I did a bridal bouquet.
Yeah.
And in true form, I was running out of time.
Of course.
I know. Time just seems to slip away. So I spent, 3 weeks before Salon Culinaire, which was I took it down on the 24th of March. Hang on, there you go. I'll send you a few pickies over. I was going to enter two.
Yeah.
And then I started on the next one and it was a complete and utter disaster and I decided that I wasn't going to do.
What was the other one that you were going to enter?
It was a miniature exhibit.
Okay.
And then I discovered how much gelatin eats everything.
Yes.
I abandoned all hope of that one. So I just took this one down. But
those roses are lovely.
Thank you. I think the roses are what saved it. I got a merit.
Okay.
Apparently they judged very harshly this year. I didn't go at all. I literally just about had enough time to drop it off. And then I didn't have time even to go back and look around or collect it. So my friend was down there. She collected it for me. But the weather had been really temperamental up until the date. So obviously, this is what you should not do in entering competition. You should start a long time before and then they've got drying time.
Yeah.
So the wisteria I made, I wasn't happy with at all and it almost never made it to it because I was really disappointed with it. Just with the dusting of it and everything. But it was a good lesson. I mean, you learn a lot of things by doing this. The Lysianthus that I made, there was one piece, and every time I picked it up, it was so soft still because of the weather.
Yeah.
Bits just kept tearing off of it. I went, it's kind of crammed in there. It'll be fine. And then I turned up with it, and there were buds, and even they were falling off. And I'd made these a week or so beforehand. And everything was, I had the dehydrator going to try and dry them out. Honestly, it was just, it was a bit crazy. But the roses are what I made first. So they had the longest amount of time to dry. But yes, and even they were a bit day glow. So I used a sachet of colour from Sugar Inn. And I didn't realise quite how bright it was. I think it was like a baby pink or something. And I wasn't intending for them to be quite so vibrant.
Yeah.
But actually, it's not too bad. I mean, I only put it in the middle, of the petals. So it wasn't quite as bad. But it
wasn't what you were expecting it to be.
No, it wasn't quite where I wanted it to be, but I did it and I put it in. And every time that's what I want to know. I want to know from people, what is the best glaze to use? Because different glazes seem to be very different in their shininess. I've got Sugar Flare, and it's not seems to take a lot of coats.
I wonder if it depends what glaze it is, because I think a lot of them say it as glaze, but then you get glaze, you get half glaze, you get quarter glaze. So I wonder if that's a half rather than like a full glaze that you then need to dilute yourself.
I don't know. I'll go and grab the pot in a minute and have a look. But I also found that when I was dipping the buds, if you look into it really closely, the glaze kind of set on the bottom and there's nothing on the top.
Oh.
And I don't know why. It's happened to me several times before. But anyway.
So, is it just run down and that's it? It's like it's too runny maybe.
I don't know. Maybe I should have left them hanging upside down. But I don't know.
Then you had the opposite problem.
Yeah, I would have done. But then maybe you wouldn't have noticed it quite so much. I don't know. No. I really don't know.
I know some people paint glaze on rather than like dipping because then you do get a thinner coat and it's an even coat.
Yeah, I might have to try that.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't happy with it. But anyway, that was fine. Learnt lots. But I liked it. Well, I can't say I liked it at Salon Culinaire because I didn't really turn up, but it was quite small.
Okay. I forgot all about it. So I did intend to go and then it completely slipped my mind.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just didn't have time to go back, which was a bit sad, really, because it looked really good.
Yeah.
What else have I done? I went to see Fast Love at the Woodville Halls.
Oh, yeah.
At George Michael tribute, which was really good, actually.
Yeah.
I'm not very good at going to those kind of things and sitting down.
No.
I feel very odd. I grew up in my teens going up to the Marquee Club and the Astoria in London. Yes. And kind of, you know, really headbanging and getting down.
Getting involved.
Yes. And so sitting is very, very weird. But fortunately, we had tickets right at the back. So we could stand and we weren't getting in anyone's way.
Okay.
Because that's the thing, isn't it? You're halfway down and someone stands in front of you. And if you're not somebody that wants to stand, then that's really incredibly annoying.
But or someone that can't stand. Do you know what I mean?
It's not. Yeah. So it's, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. I find it strange when they only have seated tickets with things like that. Because it's like, what if you want to get up and dance? Like it's music.
I know.
Or like, I don't know.
I don't know how you can sit at music.
I find it. I find it weird. I think you sit through music that you're not really into, don't you?
Yes, exactly. But when you really get into it, you're like, oh. So yeah, I did that. Finished my last class. So yes, onwards and upwards to the next class.
They look so good. The circus tents. They really look great.
They?
Yeah, in their picture, in the picture, together. All together. I was like, oh my god, these look amazing.
I know.
I know. When the choice of colours and how nice and bold it was, and it's really, really worked.
I did. I loved it. It's amazing, isn't it? How when they all come together, and when you start, they look nothing, and then all of a sudden, and it was true for all of them. Like partway through, and suddenly, I think we were putting the grass on or something.
Yeah.
Suddenly, everyone went, "Wow." It's almost like they hadn't realized where that transformation was going to happen from bits to all of it coming together. They did look really good.
I think that was not that I've been to any of your classes, but I think that looked like one of the best ones that you've done in terms of like how it looked at the end.
I think for color and vibrancy and kind of you really got that
just been eye-catching.
I think so. But it's always hard to try. I keep trying to come up with like new techniques and things. And
I guess at some point you're going to have to repeat. But also if you're new to the techniques, then doing it once isn't enough anyway, is it? You do need to repeat stuff to get the hang of it.
I'm now working on my summer term class.
Okay.
I've sent a picture over to you. Which one of my students said she wanted to have a go at, which is a dress.
Oh.
That's all I can say. I've got to finish off a few more, a couple more mice and some bobbins and bits. But that's potentially 8 weeks long, that session. I'm not sure we need 8 weeks. I'm not going to prolong it if we don't need it.
Yeah.
But saying that, like, it took me quite a long time to make the mouse how I wanted it.
Yeah.
So, and that's what I did. I mean, that's the only good thing about going down to the Meet the Maker thing, is that it focused me on, so I got and actually worked.
Oh, okay.
Couldn't be distracted. I had to make the mouse.
Yeah.
So, it took a few times for me to, like, roll up the face and re-roll it. And
okay. But I think once you know what you're doing, that looks like a one-week job, doesn't it, to the mouse?
What, the mouse?
Yeah,
the mouse. So, yeah, that will be a two-hour slot, but we've got three mice to make.
Oh, okay.
So that will be another three sessions.
Yeah.
And then the dress took, I think the dress will take about 3 weeks.
2 to 3, yeah.
I think 3 weeks total.
Making the shape is going to be one, and then dressing it is going to be at least one, yes, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to have that as an overflow, because it depends on how fast people work.
Yeah, I suppose, and how much detail they want to put in and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. And then we'll make bobbins and bits. So that's potentially 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 7.
Okay.
But the board will take probably take a week.
Okay.
To mark it and dust it. Yeah. So, but we might do that over 2 weeks and just mark it off and then let it dry and come back and dust it. And then I glazed it.
Oh, okay.
More glaze. I use spray glaze this time, and I realised I've managed to spray glaze my phone, the table.
Everything in sight.
Yeah. Well, if I was using it at home, I'd go out in the garden and do it.
Yeah.
But I was in the art centre, so I was like,
no choice.
No.
You've also probably spray glazed half the art centre as well.
quite possibly. But anyway, enough of me. Yeah. What have you got that's new?
What have I got that's new? Let me start off with some florist wire holders by Liz Unglis of Sugar Designs.
Yeah.
So these come in four different sizes, and they are, I don't know what shape they are. Imagine like an octagon, but I'm not sure how many sides they have, to be completely honest with you. Where it's a sort of a clear octagon, I'm guessing, with a blue lid. And you can get ones that are either the length of full uncut florist wires. You can get ones that look like they do a half, a third, and possibly two thirds. They come in four different sizes, and they just say either full size, large, medium, or small, or set of three. So they're £10 each, or if you want the set of three, it's 30, even though they come in four sizes. Oh no, it does say full length, half length, third length, or quarter length.
Yeah.
And you can buy them separately, or the three smaller ones as a set of three. So if you want the full length, you've got to buy it separately. And each one, is octagonal. That was a good guess.
Yes, it is octagonal, yeah.
I was going to say hexagon. I was like, no, there's definitely more than five sides.
definitely. It says it has sections for seven different wire sizes with labelling.
Yeah, so on the outside, you can write what size wires are in that section, so you don't have to keep looking, which I think is quite good, actually. And it stops them getting all bent and mixed up. So if you're into flower making...
So presumably, it has a little section... Oh, yeah, it does, at the top. So you can, like toothpicks or something, you know, like where you spin it around, it just opens that section and you pour those ones out.
Yeah, I guess so. Because there's one stick in the picture, there's one sticking out of the lid where the lid is still on it. So I guess that there must be some sort of spinny section on the top somewhere.
Yeah, I quite like that.
Yeah, I quite like that. Very good.
Okay.
So that is by Sugar Designs. We need to talk about the Southeast Area Show. So this is by the British Sugar Craft Guild Southeast Area, which is what the area that we are both in. And it's on the 11th of May at Ardingly, which is the South of England showground in Sussex. And Saturday, the 11th of May, from 10 till 4:30 p.m. Tickets are £6 in advance, or £8 on the door. Children are £3, and that includes a free hands-on session for them. And we've got competition. There's some have-a-go workshops, which you need to book in advance if you want to do them. There's demonstrations, which you can book in advance. There will be traders there. The branches will be taking part in a branch table competition. So there's that competition as well as the individual competition. Demonstration wise, there's Emily Hankins, Natalie Porter, Vicky Tether, and Zoe Hopkinson from Zoe's Fancy Cakes.
Is there still spaces on them all?
I believe so. So it's all on Eventbrite if you want to book any of them. There's also the next day, we are doing a longer workshop. So if you're traveling somewhere and staying overnight and, you know, paying out to stay, you might want to stay and do a workshop the next day on the Sunday. So from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. so there's still time to get home at a reasonable hour if you want to. These are at the Crawley Scout Hut. We've got Zoe Hopkinson doing modelling fun faces. That's £70 for non-members. Take you through making faces, not showing hairstyles or body parts. It's just facial expressions. It says, ideally Zoe hopes to get 3 to 4 done in the time allowed for a half day workshop, but this could be more or less. Aimed at anyone who's interested in developing facial making and facial expression skills. And then on...
Very good at that.
Yeah. Then on Sunday the 12th as well, 10 till 2, same time, same place. Emily Hankins is doing a cocoa painting workshop. So she'll show you how to cocoa paint with dust onto a cake, or in this case, a plaque, a design similar to the one above, which is a bit of a floral bouquet sort of style. So it's got roses, I think they're poppies and daisies, and the picture's a bit small, something purple, I'm not sure what that is, and some leaves.
Something else,
miscellaneous, flowers.
Well, having done her class, I highly recommend it if people want to go down to that.
Yeah.
That'd be brilliant.
Yeah. So demonstrations, £5 each or two different ones for £9. That's the Natalie Porter doing Cymbidium Orchid, Zoe Hopkinson modelling a giraffe, Vicky Tether's modelling a sloth, and Emily Hankins is doing her seasonal painted flowers on icing. And then the adults have a go workshops. You've got Louise Dawson doing vanilla stencils. Jamie Smith is doing a Rudbeckia. Alison Henderson is doing a royalised run-out teddy. Anne White is doing baby bags. Joe Deere is doing a baby cake topper. Debbie Cox is doing a seaside pastelage card, which I think actually looks really cute. That is actually my favourite out of all the things on there. It's like a little porthole with a little boat through it, and like a really sort of cartoony and cute. It really does look nice. And Tanya Tooley is doing foliage. So they're between £6 and £8 for some of them are, I think the hour ones are £6 and the hour and a half ones are £8, roughly speaking. And then the children's have a go workshops. You've got fishy biscuits, which are biscuits in the fish shape, not fish flavour. Or biscuits for fish. Flip-flops by the sea cupcakes, bas relief rock pool as well. And they all look really cute. And then one of them is included in their entry ticket.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So if you fancy that, come along. You can buy your tickets on the door. You can buy things in advance on Eventbrite. And it's on Saturday the 11th of May at Ardingly, which is the South of England showground.
Yes, hopefully I'll get down.
Yes, I will be running the competition. I've just sent you a picture of the little pastelage card.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
it's really lovely, cute. Isn't it? I think pastelage card, you think quite old-fashioned, but that's not at all. That's really cute.
Yeah, very cute.
Yeah. Yeah, very nice. The other thing I wanted to mention, Miriam Pearson. So she has launched a flower paste and a handful of tools. So Miriam Pearson, she has a 200-gram pot of sugar paste, which can be bought via Sugar Designs, and an ultra-fine flower paste. So Miriam is known for making her sugar flowers, and it's been developed so it's suitable for humid and very warm conditions. It's a 200-gram white colour with a vanilla flavour.
Rolls beautifully thin with a shelf life of 12 months, can also be frozen and come back to room temperature. And it's a 200 gram pot for £6. She also has a veining board. So instead of being a rectangle, this one's actually circular. Mm-hmm. And it's £10. It's got 6 different grooves on it of varying lengths and depths, which looks really nice. And the pictures make it look quite big, but it's actually not that big. No. The picture we thought it was about 8 inches. It's not. It says the board measures 5 inches in diameter and comes with a non-slip mat. So just bear that in mind. It looks good. I think actually a more useful shape as well than the square ones, because you've got space to roll a wider a leaf or petal without it spilling over into the next groove.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. I get the only thing for me would be like storage. It's easier to store the square or the rectangle boards.
Yeah, but also this is quite small. This isn't that big, is it?
No.
Only 5 inches, so it's probably smaller than a rectangle would be.
Maybe it's height-wise, isn't it?
Yeah.
Might be. But I'm sure it would just slot it in somewhere.
Yeah.
Like we do most things.
Indeed. She's also got a dusting box, which is £12.50. This is a box so you can move your dusts while working and doing your flowers, keeping everything else tidy. Comes with 5 sheets of dusting paper. Refill packs are available. 5 empty pots for when you want to blend colours, and 2 paintbrushes as well. So for £10, £12.50, I don't think that's as bad considering you're getting 3 brushes and 5 boxes. It's essentially a tray that stops you spilling your dust all over the worktop.
Yes.
You may well be able to fashion something similar yourself if you have any sort of boxes available. But it looks sturdy enough to be able to rest your arm on and that sort of thing without worrying about destroying it. And also, Squire's Kitchen have announced that their official stockists will be Vanilla Valley. So Squire's Kitchen seem to be coming back with their ranges of products, and Vanilla Valley is the place that you can buy them from.
That'd be good.
Well, what have you found?
So I've found, well, Colour Mill seem to be quite busy at the moment.
Yeah.
So they've created some piping nozzles, although I do think that maybe they're piping nozzles that you can already get, so I'm not sure, do you know, how useful or how
not as ground much of the market they're going
to, yeah, not sure how much of the market they're going to collar, but yeah. They're £2.59. They've also got, side scrapers. I don't know whether these are new particularly, but they've got them in different sizes. Again, something else that, you know, there's plenty of.
Okay.
I couldn't actually see, hang on, bear with me. Does it say what they're made of? They call it a cereal scraper.
Okay.
So I always think of cereal as a murderer or something. But no, it's not a real killer. It's a cereal scraper. So they've got one that is 6 inches.
Mm.
It's an acrylic scraper. So not a great deal different from other acrylic scrapers. One's 6 inch, one's 8 inch, and one's 10 inch.
Okay.
And they range from $7.75 to $11.75. Oh, and then they've got, now I don't know whether this is new or I've only just seen it, a white gloss frost.
Okay.
It's a bit of a mouthful to say, isn't it? And it's a Swiss meringue style buttercream. And they've got it in 1 litre and 2 litre tubs. So the 1 litre is $9.85. And I think that the 2 litre was, I don't know, £18 something.
Okay.
But they do have, actually, just seen another thing. Again, disposable piping bags. Now, I know they're the hideous disposable piping bags that we all love to hate for various reasons. So absolutely abysmal for the environment. But they come in 9-inch, 12-inch, 15-inch. Yeah, is that right? Yeah, 9, 12, 15-inch packs. There's 50 in a pack, ranging from 9.75 to 13.20. I just like the way that they've colour-coded them so you can easily pick up the colours. So the 9-inch ones are quite good for, like, royal icing and stuff and smaller type ones. Yeah. Oh, hang on, these piping bags are disposable, degradable and durable. But you're still putting stuff into the environment, aren't you?
Yeah, and degradable doesn't mean that it's not plastic. It just means that it breaks down into microplastics, which is not...
Yeah, over 5 million years.
Yeah, yeah, no. Over a few thousand years.
Yeah. I know, I struggle with this because I use disposable bags. I don't use them very often, but I do use them. And I hate using them, but I struggle sometimes using greaseproof ones. And
I think greaseproof works for royal icing. I think for buttercream, yeah, it doesn't.
Oh yeah, no, I wouldn't use it for buttercream. Yeah. I've got the giant blue, sadly, plastic disposables, and I know you could wash them out, but it's not quite. You can't quite get them perfectly clean.
You can't.
You still have an oily film, and I don't think the environmental health officer would be particularly.
No,
happy.
I don't think you could reuse them for a customer. You could certainly reuse them for yourself at home.
Yeah,
but not. For
yeah,
a customer.
But then how often do I use buttercream indoors for myself? Yeah, no. So, so that's it. Really, I think we covered the other ones. Mm. Oh, the other thing that you mentioned before was that PME are doing their sugar pasting cardboard boxes.
Yeah, I just saw that in Hobbycraft that they were in little cardboard packets. So this is their small 250-gram packets. They now seem to have a cardboard outer and they're still in some sort of packaging in the inside that makes them airtight, but I couldn't open any of the boxes because they're sealed with a label, so you can't get into them without destroying it. So I couldn't tell you what that looks like inside.
See, for me, I reckon that they've just, it's the same. They're still in that plastic packaging.
I wonder
so
if
now
it's
they've
less
put them
plastic.
In a card.
Yeah, I wonder if it's less plastic packaging because it's now not being printed on and maybe they can just shrink wrap it without so much extra bits. I don't know.
But you've got card as well.
Yeah,
too.
It feels like it's extra like packaging on top of what was already there.
Mm. But it does look like they've kind of upped their game a bit.
It looks smarter.
Washer.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it does look smarter. Yeah. And it looks like it's tidier on the shelf.
Absolutely.
As well.
And I think it looks like they'll get less battered because they're still quite small packets, but they're a lot easier to stack and what have you. But
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I like the look of it. I like the look of it. In principle, I like the fact that it's in card, but obviously to keep it airtight and everything, it's still got to be in plastic inside.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but anyway, yes, right. Should we move on?
The other thing you're going to say, no, the other thing you're going to talk about was AZ03.
Oh, yes. Now, I completely and utterly forgot all about this when you... until you mentioned it.
Yeah, I was going through my phone and like getting rid of stuff that we didn't need anymore. I was like, oh, we haven't talked about this.
No, we haven't, have we?
No.
If something is, correct me now, because I sent this to you ages and ages ago. If something is AZO free, then it is free. Remind me.
Let me send you back what you sent to me.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea. This is what my environmental health officer sent me.
Oh, okay.
Which is very kind of her because I didn't ask her for it. She just sent it over. Okay, so if a product is labelled AZO-free or abbreviated AZ, it means that it does not contain the dyes tartrazine, E102, yellow,
S-Y-E-104. Sunset yellow, is it?
Is it sunset yellow?
I think so.
Because the yellow E110 is SY as well.
Yeah, they both say SY often, don't they? Oh, well.
Hmm. Azorubin, E122. Poncho? 4R. See, is it Poncho?
I think so.
4R. See, 4R is something as well, isn't it? E124 and Allura E129. So they're what I was always been told were the Somerset colours. Don't know why they're called Somerset colours.
It's got to be some ruling, hasn't it?
Yeah, I tried looking it up once and it came up with nothing. So these are all of the colours that may adversely affect the activity and attention of children, and what you actually put onto your allergen lists or whatever.
Mm.
But if you buy it and it says azo-free, then it hasn't got any of those in it.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, really didn't know that at all.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So, shall we talk about reviews?
Yes, let's.
Okay. So, this is a really quick one, isn't it, today?
It is quiet. Because we both need to shoot off.
Yeah. Places to be. Yeah. So, the one thing that I kind of thought about, and actually I've seen a lot of recently all over social media, is about how important reviews are to you and your business, because we invariably do our cakes, send them out, and people say, oh, they're lovely, thank you so much, and then that's it and gone.
Mm.
But your future customers want to know how lovely and wonderful your cakes are. And so trying to get your customers to do your review is quite important.
Yeah.
But bloody hard work as well.
Yeah. I mean, would you ask specifically for a review? Would you just take the thanks, that was lovely, everyone enjoyed it, as your review, and then share that?
No, I ask for reviews now.
Okay.
I never used to. The one thing that I think is nice and quite important, if you can get them, is Google reviews, because that impacts your standing on Google.
Yes.
But I find that really hard, and I hate doing Google reviews because then I have to log into Google and that irritates me.
Yeah.
So I don't have a load of Google reviews, and I know I should have, but equally, so I send them a link to Hitched, which is what I'm on, registered on as a cake maker, but it does mean I can send out a link. They can just click on the link, write the review, and it's done.
Yeah.
So then what I do from that, invariably, they write a nice little paragraph, which is quite nice. And I can take snippets of that and I can turn them into probably two or three reviews. Like I can post then, because actually people don't read a huge amount.
No.
So if, especially on social media, so I can take like one sentence. I might have to cut it down a little bit if I need it in a certain amount of words or something. Mm. And then I will use that to post. So I can get two or three reviews out of, for social media purposes, out of one review.
Yeah.
But the other thing is like, when do you send it? So for me, because I'm doing weddings, do you send it straight after the wedding? Because everyone's like really happy and had a lovely time and they're all very full of it and everything still. Mm. And, you know, you'll get a lovely, lovely review. Or do you wait? Because a lot of people still do go on honeymoon after their wedding.
And they've still got a lot of stuff to sort through and do after their wedding. Exactly. And it's not going to be a priority, is it?
No. But I have found if I send it, I'll send it straight after the wedding.
Yeah.
Most people will just do it straight away.
Okay, I suppose because it's quite a big thing, isn't it? And then it's done.
Yeah, yeah. But then on the flip side, like some people don't do it, and I will follow up with another link.
Yeah,
and say, look, if you've got 5 minutes, I'd really appreciate it. And invariably, they do.
Yeah.
Some of them take a long time to do it, and you do wonder how many times that you can actually pester people. But I might go. I might do like three times.
Yeah.
Although I did see somewhere that someone suggested that you, if they haven't come back to you, you write your own review.
Yeah.
You send it to them and say, is this okay that I can, you know, is this acceptable as a review? And I can put your name to it.
That's, and sometimes that's dodgy. Easier.
It is, but they've read it and they've agreed it.
Yeah, but you could say therefore, whatever you like then, couldn't you?
Well, I know you could say whatever you like, but then if they don't agree with it, then they should come back and say. But I have known people, you know, that do that, and it's easier for them to, you know, because people don't always know what to say. So you could say, well, I could suggest this or something. And then they just say, yeah, no, that's absolutely brilliant. Thanks very much. And they're happy to have their name put to it.
Yeah.
You know,
I guess sometimes you could say, rather than writing it for them and saying, are you happy with this? You could say, here are some templates if you want to, if you're stuck for ideas or something like that.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Yeah. It's so hard sometimes, but so important.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably even harder for, I don't know, celebration cakes.
See, I don't know. I feel like people do give you feedback. Like if someone texts you and says, that was great, it tasted amazing, you can just say, do you mind if I post that on my social media? No, great, done. Like it doesn't necessarily have to take the place of a formal review to be.
Oh, I don't think anything. Worthwhile. I think that even if, like you say, if you get a text.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to put their full name, you know, just their Christian name. It's fine. So it doesn't have to, you know, it doesn't have to be like, oh, this is this person particularly, you know. But it is actually a genuine person. Yeah. I don't think you should make up reviews
put
names to them.
No.
But I think that, if you get a text or any format of
a voice note would be a nice one to get because that would make a really nice post.
Yeah. Yeah,
because
that would.
Could have that as the sound over like a little montage of pictures of the cake or over a little bit of video of you setting it up or.
Yeah. Yeah, very well, very rare that you'd get that though.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of people do use voice notes. And I think if you've been communicating with the person using voice messages.
Yeah.
You're more likely to get one back because it can be, because it's the kind of thing you can record. Like even while you're driving, you can record a voice note, can't you?
Yeah.
You can do it.
I think it just depends on who. So, I mean, that wouldn't be something that I'd ever do because it's all done by, you know, typing email.
Yeah. Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. So, I think if it's something that you're doing, then yeah, certainly I think it would be really good.
But I think for a celebration cake, you might be more likely to get a voice note.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But I do think they're really important and they're important to share and to make sure you put them. If you've got a website, put them on your website.
Yeah.
If you've got, you know, just put them everywhere because people do read them.
Yeah. Would you offer an incentive for leaving a review?
I haven't. But I don't know what kind of incentive I would leave.
Money off your next wedding cake.
If you get divorced. I don't know what incentive I would use.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's not as though I want to follow up with a celebration cake or.
Yeah. Or would you do something. Like a referral code or something saying that like, thank you for choosing me to do your wedding. Please leave me a review. Blah, blah, blah. If you'd like to refer me on to anyone else, please use this code. And if they book their wedding cake, then you'll get, I don't know, £10 or something or whatever.
That's a thought.
Maybe.
That's a thought.
Because you can't necessarily give them a discount on something they're not going to buy again, but you could give them a cut of someone else's money, couldn't you?
Do you know what I'd like to do, though? I'd rather do if they gave a review, I'd like to say I would donate some money to plant a tree.
That's a good idea, or a charity or something.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to do.
Yeah, I feel like that's a nice incentive. Yeah.
Yeah, I might just do that. Yeah. Glad we were talking about this.
So do you leave reviews for people?
Now, that's a really good question. Yes, I do. I do sometimes. I do sometimes.
Okay.
Actually, I did one the other day for the O2. I went to see Michael McIntyre.
Oh, my sister's going to that the weekend.
Oh, it's really good. Really good. But I did leave. And the problem is, it was a survey. So I think there's a difference between a survey and a review. And this survey they did say at the end about the length of the survey. I said, yes, it took me 10 minutes. I haven't got 10 minutes.
Yeah, too long.
That I want to spend filling in your, you know, form.
Yeah. I think once you get past 5 questions, people just start to click stuff to make it end.
Yes.
They're not being paid to do it.
No, I wanted to get to the point. But the thing is, I wanted to get to the point where I could actually leave a review about the thing that hacked me off.
Yeah.
Not that they could do anything about it, because I think they've just crammed too many people into the O2.
Yeah.
And all the seating is too narrow. And all of the, you know, you're sitting there for 2 hours or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And my knees were killing me because you've got no room in front of you.
Yeah.
I know they can't do anything about it now because that's the venue, that's what they've got. But I just wanted to make that point.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe you should have that point at the beginning, because then, you know, if you get bored of doing the review and like you say, you just click through to get through to the end, you can do that.
Yeah. And I suppose, like, there is always a risk that when you ask someone for a review, they're going to say something that you don't want to hear as well.
Yeah.
So what would you do about that?
I would, the thing is, if it's going through a review, then I would message them back. Always, I would reply after every review anyway to thank them for the review. But I would reply and say something along the lines, if you want to message me, I can discuss it through with you, and we can come to, you know, I don't know, some sort of agreement or whatever.
Yeah.
I'd like to, but don't just put, oh, you know, that was a bad review, whatever. You know, you want to appear that you're going to take action against it.
And I suppose you also don't want to find out for the first time that something went wrong in a review.
No.
Very public.
No.
You hopefully already have that chain of communication.
Yeah, definitely. I think people would automatically come back if there's something wrong.
Yeah. I also think it has to be said that I don't think bad reviews necessarily put people off. I think that if all your reviews are positive, people will think they're fake. There needs to be some element of something that either went wrong and was resolved, or that could have been done better, or someone somewhere that is not happy with absolutely every single element of what happened, because otherwise people just think they're fake reviews and no one has 5 stars from like thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah, I haven't got 5 stars on my, I've got good reviews. They're all good reviews, but they're not all 5 stars.
Yeah.
So when some people might have thought that it was more expensive than they thought it was going to be, or, you know, and that is just an education around, you know, what you're actually doing with your time, not just making a cake.
Yeah.
So there's lots of, there's lots of other things about how efficient you are and what you've done and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I think you're right. I don't think having 5 stars is not always a good thing.
Yeah.
But equally, having no stars is not a good thing.
It's also not good, yeah.
Yeah. But having a balance in between, then actually, makes you quite genuine and authentic, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. Speaking of which, people should leave us a review, right?
Yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
I think it's a really
Where are they leaving them, Erica?
Well,
where are they leaving them?
Wherever they listen to their podcasts, there will be the option to review. But I think it's a very easy way to help out all small businesses that you like. If you don't, if you don't have the money to buy from something that someone's selling, if you like their content they're making and you want to support them, leave them a review. It's a really easy way to show them some support without spending any money.
Yeah.
And that doesn't just go for us. That goes for like everything that you engage with.
Yeah. And I think particularly small businesses.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because actually that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember once, I know we haven't got much time, but I remember once when I was working, when I was like paid by an employer, and someone from Swale Borough Council wrote to my bosses and said how well I've been doing and what I've been doing. And, you know, and but that just makes such a huge difference.
Yeah.
To somebody. So if you've seen somebody or someone's gone over and above,
yeah,
what they're doing, you know, do something nice.
Yeah. Only takes a couple of minutes, doesn't it? And then
it does.
You'll feel and good. They'll feel good.
Exactly. Right. Do you want to move on to your one to watch then?
Yes. Why not? Sorry, we are racing through this because we both need to leave in about 3 minutes. So, so my one to watch is The Caketunist. This is all one word. The Caketunist. And this is a baking account, but delivered with a sense of humour. So it says cartoonist, baker, idiot, a dry sense of humour and a moist sense of cake.
Yeah, I love it.
I actually came across her on TikTok. And I was like, oh, I wonder if she's got Instagram. She must do. And it's the same context on both, but it just came across my For You page on on Instagram. So yeah, I think her name is Tat FB. That's the name of her business. I'm not 100% sure.
She's very funny,
but she's UK based. Yeah, she does various different recipes. They're all sort of sweet things, so it is cake and confectionery and sweet stuff themed. Yeah. Like there's ice cream, there's sauces, there's brownies in the air fryer, all sorts of things. But she's got a very dry sense of humour. And that
you have to listen to it.
Yeah, you have to listen to it.
You can't just go onto the pictures and look. You have to listen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. She's been applying for Bake Off, which is quite funny.
She should get on.
She hasn't got on. She's talked about her audition.
No, she should.
She's very, very funny. And she makes lots of fun bakes and things. So if you after some new sweet recipes to try, and a little bit of a dry sense of humour in the delivery as well, then check her out. That is The Caketunist. We are following her.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Right.
Who have you got?
Shall I do mine then?
Yeah.
So I have got Andrew Scott with two T's _ art. And I don't know how I came across this guy, but I love his pictures. They're very, very unique. He shows you how he draws them. But they all seem to have like mainly just one character. And it's in a very kind of a reddy burgundy, quite dark colours with almost like charcoal-y type effect.
Not quite and sepia, dark. But like that sort
no.
of.
But it's very, very good. And then he frames them and he puts, and the frames sometimes come into the picture. He's done one where the picture goes around the side of the wall when there's two people and it's like they can't see each other around the corner.
Yeah.
It's just very unique.
It reminds me a bit of Banksy, actually, his style, but instead of being done on walls, it's been done on paper and then framed.
Yeah.
And the frame is part of the art rather than...
Yeah. I mean, there's even one where the paper, he's had the paper like half in the frame, half out of the frame, but there's a young girl and a boy and they're pulling tug of war and he's kind of pulling the page out of the picture frame.
Yeah.
I just think they're unique. I've not seen anything like them. And they just, I really, really like what he does with the
picture. They're very imaginative, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's got one where he's got a boxer and the boxing glove has like punched the glass off the frame and he's smashed that bit of frame.
Yeah.
So it looks like he's actually just punched the frame. I just think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
So
I like how the frame is part of the artwork rather than.
Yes. It's not just framing it, is it? No, I really, really like them. Go and check out Andrew Scott's. It's AndrewScott _ art. It's very good.
Excellent.
Oh, we've done it.
We are indeed. So,
yes. Okay. Shall I round up then?
Yes.
Well, thank you everyone yet again for listening to us. We do really appreciate it. And yes, if you fancy leaving us a review, please do wherever you listen to your podcast.
You can follow us online at The Sugarcraft Junkies, where we'll be posting pictures of things that we have sent each other today. And we'll be back on the 8th of May with another episode.
Woo!
We'll speak to you then. Bye.
Bye.